IFPRI Policy Seminar, Sustainable Food Security and Climate Change, Post-Bonn and Pre-Rio, a conversation about where we are and where we are headed. Thursday, May 31st, 2012, in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Gerald Nelson, Senior Research Fellow in the Environment and Production Technology Division at IFPRI.
Let me just say a few words about the CFS report writing effort that I'm part of. By way of background, the CFS, the Committee on Food Security, is in the UN system roughly a parallel with the Food and Agriculture Organization, which itself was a bit of a controversy when it was set up. It has a very small secretariat. It doesn't have large numbers of people. But countries meet annually to discuss topics and crucially to recommend areas that need further attention related to food security. As part of the CFS, there's a body called the High Level Panel of Experts, the HLPE, which is a standing body that is was originally created a year and a half ago when the CFS was reconstituted. Serves for a two-year term and will rotate off going forward, and the new group will be named shortly. The CFS then asks the high-level panel of experts to write these reports, and unique among this among UN organizations is the fact that these reports first of all are responding to country requests. So unlike, for example, the CCAF's Sustainable Commission on Food Security and Agriculture, which recently, with a very high-level panel, recently released a report and some very powerful recommendations, there's nobody who asked for that report, per se. This is a by contrast, this is a report that was requested by governments and will go to governments. The other thing that's really unique about this is that although the people who authored the report, in the first instance there's a writing team and then this it comes from the HLP itself, do not represent organizations. They are experts and write as experts in the particular area. They are allowed and in fact expected to make recommendations. No other UN organization has recommendations done by this kind of an activity. And the report is not vetted by the countries. Instead, it's vetted only by the members of the HLPE, which then post it on the web. And if all goes well, it'll be posted. This report will be posted sometime in early July, perhaps late June. The focus of the Committee on Food Security is food security. And so the report that we're writing is a report about food security and the consequences of climate change. The challenge from the countries was to report that did two things. One of them is focus on the vulnerable, who was vulnerable to climate change in a variety of dimensions. And the second part then was the consequences of climate change for productivity. And related to this then comes up the issue of both adaptation and mitigation. Both of those were mentioned. And so the turnaround time for this report is short. The writing team was created only about December 15th, and if you think about the calendar, very little gets done between December 15th and January 15th. And if you have a Chinese member of the writing team, that adds the Chinese New Year celebration to the mix of delays in getting work done. So it's a very quick turnaround report. It's a relatively short report. It currently is about 60 pages long. With some recommendation section that's about 10 pages long. So what are some of the issues? Obviously, the issues that both Bill and David have talked about are issues that we've addressed. The challenges, what are the challenges of adaptation for the agricultural sector? What do we know about what the challenges already are, and what can we expect going forward to be the challenges? And the challenges are both on the productivity side. In some sense, the effects of climate change start in the first instance with their biophysical effects on crop yields and animal productivity and fisheries. But then how those translate into human vulnerability, both through livelihood effects and in terms of changes in composition and of the diets that are potentially available to people. So we focus a lot on adaptation and about what are some of the options for adaptation going forward. But we also have a significant section, a whole chapter actually devoted to mitigation. And so I think this is likely to be where the recommendations will be perhaps the most controversial, precisely for the reasons that both Bill and David have talked about the current concerns about the role of agriculture in mitigation. Now, this is a scientific report. It's not, in the first instance, a political report. And if you look at all of the projections for emissions pathways, you see that the developed country emissions, which are quite large on a per capita basis today, and certainly in terms of total contributions to emissions are quite high, are relatively flat, and the emissions from the developing countries are growing quite rapidly. And so, as Bill actually had said, if we're going to deal with, and these are agricultural emissions, if we're going to deal with mitigation, we're going to have to deal with agriculture. And so development strategies that include low emissions pathways are going to be, I think, probably a fairly strong recommendation for what needs to be done coming out of this committee. The question, of course, is how this is financed, and then we come back to the question of carbon finance and payments and who pays for what. And I think those are questions for which there's likely to still be some debate before we come up with final recommendations on those. Some other topics that I think we will have something to say about, one of them is the issue of whether you focus on adaptation. And I think we will say no, you do not focus on adaptation. You focus on food security in the first instance, and then you think about how adaptation challenges food security. So the focus should be, first of all, on what we need to meet the food security threats that we face, and then how climate change will alter those threats, and so what we need to do specifically to deal with those threats, rather than having the silo of food security and the silo of adaptation. One of the issues will be information about the performance of various genetic resources in the face of changing climates around the world, and information transfer about those resources, and actually genetic resource transfer as well. The smallholder agriculture thing has come up in a big way, and I think I think there would be very little disagreement among anybody actually in this room that if you're thinking about the vulnerable and if you're thinking about agriculture, you think about smallholders and how to make them more productive, how to improve their livelihoods. But if you look at the trends in population and urbanization, that in the absolute terms, the number of people living in the countryside in 2050 will be smaller than it is today. And by definition, therefore, farm sizes will have to go up on average around the world. But there will be a transition process that's going more rapidly in some places, say China, than India, as we heard a couple of days ago from Hans Binswanger, where farm sizes in India are actually going down at the moment. So the role that climate change and smallholder agriculture play going forward is one that I think there's lots of questions that need to be addressed. And so there is a big urgent need for more research on a variety of things, obviously productivity, and everybody in this room would support that, and the consequences of different kinds of agricultural practices for greenhouse gas emissions and sustainability, and the role for mitigation and who might fund the mitigation efforts. And then I would end finally by saying anybody who's listened to me give a talk in the last 2 years has heard me take this vow about complaining about the quality of the data, and that will be represented in this report, a plea for much more and much better data collection of a variety of kinds. Stay tuned. That's coming out the beginning of July, maybe the end of June.